Okay, so we left off with some problems. I realize I have another... Uh-oh. Okay, go. Okay, so I realize that there's another question which I wanted to ask from yesterday. We continue from yesterday. But another question I wanted to ask is, if you remember, the Rambam says is that basically with you have to be careful about all mitzvahs, I say, the ones that you think are lenient and the ones that the Torah says they're strictness, because we don't know the matan schar of the mitzvahs. Right? You know the reward. And he says, and then, but you could calculate in some mitzvahs, you could calculate based upon their associated violation and see the punishment for not doing them, and then you could deduce how much the schar is for doing them. Okay? So I was just wondering if that's true. Because on the surface, just let's say I take his example. He says that you want to know the reward for, let's say, keeping Shabbos, and the reward for Milah. Okay? So he says, we don't know directly the reward, but we do know that if you violate Shabbos, you get Skila. If you violate Milah, then you get Kares. So therefore you know that keeping Shabbos is greater Skila than keeping Milah. But does that necessarily add up? Because maybe violating Shabbos is a very terrible thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that keeping Shabbos is a very great star. It could just mean, it's like, if you mechal Shabbos, that's such a terrible thing. But it doesn't mean the positive perfection which results from keeping Shabbos is necessarily greater from the positive perfection that results from doing Milah. It just means that if I violate Shabbos, I'm worse than if I violate Milah. But why is that necessarily the case, that the schar of keeping Shabbos is greater than the schar of keeping Milah? Right, I mean, they seem to be possible to differentiate between those two. Right? They're different. And similarly, he says the same thing on the flip side. That if you want to know the reward for refraining from an Avera, so he says, you see how bad the punishment is for the Avera. I see how bad the punishment is for the Avera. Okay. Excuse me. Okay, so similarly he says that the you want to know how bad the punishment is for how much the reward you get for refraining from Avera, see how bad the punishment is for the Avera. But just because the punishment for one Avera might be worse than a different one, doesn't necessarily mean that the reward for not doing it and the perfection for not doing the Avera is greater. Like the punishment for violating Shabbos is the worst, Skila. Punishment for, let's say, eating pig, right? Punishment for eating pig may not be as bad, right? Isn't as bad, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it may be more difficult to control yourself from eating pig than to control yourself from violating Shabbos. Therefore, one may argue that a person can get more perfection from controlling themselves from eating pig than from eating than violating Shabbos. So why does it necessarily follow, just because it's a greater punishment if I violate Shabbos, does that mean that it's a greater reward for refraining from violating Shabbos? Right? I mean, it's the same question on both sides of it. But because the Rambam is the same, we don't have any direct way to measure the assays, which is a better assay, which is more schar. But we have a way based upon which is a worse violation. But you can't necessarily, why could you deduce from how bad the violation is to how good the doing the thing is? Right. So that's another question. Okay. Fine. But I guess our first question, again, just to review the basic question, what's the deal with this thing of not knowing the Schar HaSeis? You know the Schar HaSeis, and it seems that if you knew the Schar HaSeis also, it would seem to be a good idea to rank things based on them and to be more or less careful. But for some reason, Torah just didn't tell us that. And therefore, we're kind of in a situation where we can't really do the best thing. The best thing, we just somehow rank it, but we just don't know how. So I know something's funny about that. Right? Right. Okay, so that's a question. Why are we ranking mitzvahs all together? What's the role of ranking vis-a-vis eros? Why is that relevant? Just say, do all the mitzvahs, don't do all the eros. Right. Okay, and then also your question is that necessarily a good way to rank averos based on punishment? Punishment is something separate. Why is that? How do we know necessarily that you could rank things based upon their punishments? Right? True. Yeah, I know, this is kind of an interesting question, but I found it to be somewhat of an interesting angle on these things. It's like, this is in Pirkei Avos, okay, and Avos is generally like ethics. Ethics is like perfection and character traits, and like, the question is what's the idea in ethics here? Like, what's the, is this just an idea about, so like an abstract study of Mrs. Chamorros and Kalos, or is there something to do with, like, certain midos, or something to that effect? It would seem to be, in general, it seems like it has to do with ethics, like ethical perfection. But this seems to be more of, like, a study of Tamei HaMitzvos and of Chamorros and Kalos, and saying is that we don't know Tamei HaMitzvos, we don't know rankings. It's an abstract study. It doesn't seem to really be related to ethics, per se. Yeah, and also, if in theory we could relate it to the first part of a Mishnah, you know, that would be nice if we could, but who knows, you know. Okay. So let me say something, but I'm kind of thinking out loud. I mean, I think well, maybe we'll work on this together a little bit, but I have an approach to some of this stuff. But for starters, I think we have to differentiate between two ideas of Chamor and Kal. Of a greater, of more important than less important, or of a greater reward and less reward. Okay? And that is, there's one idea, you could so to speak talk about two ways of ranking mitzvahs. One is insofar as, like, the action will bring, naturally the action will bring a certain perfection to the soul of a person. Okay? That mitzvahs have a certain intrinsic benefit to a person. Insofar as you're involved in so-and-so, it makes you think about so-and-such and such, and that benefits you in a certain manner. Okay? And you can rank mitzvahs based upon the natural perfection which is brought about by those particular mitzvahs. Okay? And if you look in that framework, I think that you can't necessarily go by onshin. Like, for instance, it could be that Lashon Hara can harm you more than, I don't know, some lav. Right, I'm not sure what lav, but even though Lashon Hara doesn't have punishment, but Lashon Hara could involve your person. Like you see, a person could be Ein Lachil Gom HaBof for talking Lashon Hara a lot, even though there's no punishment. So in terms of the natural state of harm to the soul, there could be, you can't necessarily go, that was Dave's point, you can't necessarily rank the natural effect on the soul based upon the onshin. In fact, I would think that the state of the soul, harm to the soul, is a very subjective type of thing altogether. Depends on the person, depends on the situation, and how a given mitzvah will benefit one person, and so how it's going to benefit a different person in a different time and place. A person has a weakness in a certain area, a mitzvah could benefit him greatly. Whereas a different person, it may not benefit in the same way. Or, you know, these things are somewhat subjective. Okay? See, but I don't think that's the framework which the Mishnah is talking about. Okay? But I think it's saying is that the Torah is a system. Okay? There's a system of the Torah, which is a system which is constructed by God to give into to the nation of the Jewish people, and every mitzvah contains certain ideas, and through the fact that the Jewish people are living the life of the Torah, we are maintaining certain ideas in the world. We teach these ideas about how to live, and philosophical ideas, and how to avoid harmful things. Every mitzvah contains concepts. And these concepts are maintained in the world through the Jewish people living them, and you know, of course, that gives the Jewish people great perfection. But there's an idea of that it's important that there is an Am who stands for certain ideals. And when you do the mitzvot, you're not just doing something on a personal level, but you're part of a nation, and there's a bris, a covenant between the God and the Jewish people, that the Jewish people keep the mitzvot, and serve and dysfunction vis-a-vis the world, and they get great reward for it. But there's an idea of a system, and insofar as the system of the Torah is concerned, not every mitzvah is equal value and equal significance. There are certain things which are the underpinnings of the whole system. For instance, like Arayos, or Shabbos. Like, the idea of Arayos is that we're Kadosh, we're an Am which is involved in Kedusha. Okay, and we're not just involved in uncontrolled sexuality, but our sexuality is under certain constraints of chachma and a system of constraints. So that's part of our identity as being an Am Kadosh, an You know, people look at us, in theory, if we're living properly, we're an Am, which is removed from the Taivos, and we are committed to Chachma, and, you know, and if, so far as a person is involved in Arayos, so that's a very bit of, that's like Krisos, you know, or so Mises Bezin, those are very serious Averos. Because it's like part of the whole Am, the identity of Am is like Kedushin to you, like we're an Am Kadosh. And breaking Arayos breaks that. You know, we're an Am which is taught, teaches ideas about God, teaches the idea that there's a Creator. So if we violate Shabbos, and so far as the national mission is concerned, we're teaching the world about the Creator. So as far as we violate Shabbos, that undermines the idea of the Creator. So that's terrible. The system that has a major significance insofar as the Am is concerned. But then there are other Isurim which don't have the same significance. Within the system, I mean, it's one system which has many parts to it and many ideas to it, but that doesn't mean that everything is equal weight and equal significance insofar as the mission, insofar as its participation in the mission of Klal Yisrael. Of course, they're all chayiv, and you have to do them all, but they have different levels of significance. That's why, for instance, like I think that's why, like, for instance, you buy Kari at Kris. Oh, and given they have different significance, so a person has to be more careful by things which have greater significance. And I think care, because it's not so easy to say, look, keep all the mitzvahs. But keeping all the mitzvahs isn't so easy. There are certain situations that, first of all, a person can violate the Torah unintentionally, and that still could be break the Torah. It's still Baal Manis. As an Am, we have people who are involved in certain things unintentionally. It's still the Torah is not being maintained if it's unintentional. And the person even keeping mitzvahs demands care and concern. A person could oftentimes find himself in situations where he violates because of his lack of concern. But the question is, to what degree is the person obligated to be Zohir? The level of care is a person could devote many, there are many levels of concern and carefulness a person could have about certain things. And a person could rank, the way you assess how much concern and how careful you have to be about something is based upon its significance. In any system, I mean, giving American law also, you're very careful not to violate certain serious laws. Laws, let's say, treason, or things like you know, laws which really undermine the whole America. But then, like, a different law, like, you know, I don't know, signaling before you make a left turn is also a law, but you feel like it's not as significant to the American mission, and therefore you may be, look, you shouldn't do it, but, you know, the level of care and concern is different. So I think it's natural that when you have a system, and within a system, there are different levels of significance and importance vis-a-vis how crucial these things are to the system, so it's only appropriate that a person will appropriate his carefulness based upon the seriousness of the thing. I mean, carefulness is the kind of thing that could be almost ad infinitum. I mean, you could be super duper careful about something. Like on Shabbos, a person could be so careful. You see, for instance, we can make a lot of gazeros to protect Shabbos. They're going to make a lot of gazeros because the experience of Shabbos is that it's very protective. And there seems to be, it's more the areas which are more serious demand greater protection. And you could tell which ones are more serious in the system based upon the onesh. Because if there's a greater deterrent, it means the Torah is giving a punishment because it has to prevent, it's an attempt to prevent these things from happening. That's the idea of the punishments. It's protecting and deters people from doing it and knocks out people who are engaged in it. So the greater the onesh, the more significant to the system. And the greater the need to scare people or deter people from doing it and bring serious consequences to people who are involved in it. So even though if in terms of, let's say, Lashon Hara, maybe the action of speaking Lashon Hara may harm a person more than a different thing, but it would seem you could say in terms of the system is concerned, the system of the nation of the Jewish people, it doesn't have the same effect. Okay, and then in terms of his soul, maybe it does, but in terms of the breakdown of the system, you could rank these things insofar as the system based upon the Lev, the Onshem, which are punishments which are given out to each one. And based upon those Onshem, you could deduce the level of concern, care and concern, Zihiros, that should be appropriated to each of the mitzvahs, or to each of the Averas. Okay? Maybe before I continue, is there a question? Okay. Now, in theory, you could have a similar thing by essays, okay? Because on essays, also, not every essay has equal, not every positive commandment has equal weight, insofar as the essays like our positives. The negative, those essays are doing this breaks the identity of Klal Yisrael, let's say. These are negative things. And they're bad things. They're bad, they're unethical, they're philosophically corrupt, they're whatever they are. So these are things which are destructive to the identity of the Am. But then there are positive things which are beneficial, and they contribute towards the identity of the Am. We're involved in certain positive commandments. We keep Shabbos, we do a milah, we do from Pesach, we do put up a fence on our house, you know, whatever it is, put up a mezuzah. So every asay, also within asay, is not every mitzvah has the same weight and ranking as all other mitzvahs. I mean, the different mitzvahs, there's nothing to say that just because the system commands us in many positive commandments, there's nothing to say that they all have equal weight. To say that we all have equal weight. Why should that be? I mean, it would be difficult, it would be strange if they would have all equal weight. I mean, they're different. Everything is different. And intrinsically, there's no reason to think they would all be equal. Just because they're all part of the system doesn't mean there are more primary and less primary parts of the system. And therefore, if in theory, if we knew those weights, then it would be appropriate to be more zahir, more careful about procuring the fulfillment of those positive commandments, which are more serious, more vital to the system, and less. Of course, it doesn't mean you don't do them. Of course, you do all that. But doing mitzvahs involves the zehiros. For instance, like let's say that I have to say Shema, or I have to say Shema at a certain time. So I could set an alarm. I could set two alarms and make sure I say Shema, or I could just kind of trust my memory. You know, I'll remember. And when I do that, once in a while, I mess up and I forget. You know what I mean? So, when I violate that, when I forget, you could say I'm an anus, I'm a shogeg. I didn't purposely not say Shema, but you would say I lacked in my concern about the system. I don't forget to go to work in the morning. I don't forget the thing which I forget. It's something which is important and which I'm very careful about. I don't forget. So even in positive commandments, it's true you're supposed to do all the mitzvahs, but doing things that are a lot of mitzvahs, and they're demanding, and they take place, it's very easy to get carried away, to get forget things, to do things improperly, to, you know, so there are levels of zeiros which could be involved, which a person could appropriate, which would warrant different attitudes towards. In fact, you could say it in terms of oseg. If you oseg a mitzvah, let's say you have two mitzvahs, so now you have to be careful and make sure you do mitzvahs, but sometimes you get situations where you simply can't do them both. So if you knew one was more important, then since you have to be super careful, make sure you get that one done, you say do that one and let the other one go a little bit. Because that's the thing which you value the most and you're most concerned about, so you're going to be doing it and putting that above all else. You're going to be, ranking that and giving it a greater worth. So these things, when you have rankings in terms of the significance to a system, it's going to have differences, practical differences, in how you act. Osek and a mitzvah would be one, but I think it's just in terms of your carefulness, your level of care and concern about a mitzvah. But the Torah didn't tell us any rankings. So we don't know, we have no idea how significant vis-a-vis the system certain mitzvahs are and other ones aren't. And therefore, we simply have to have equal zeiros on all positive commandments, because we don't know. So even though in truth there really are different levels, and certain things are more or less significant to the system, and they therefore would warrant greater or lesser care and concern, but since we don't know the levels, so we simply can't, our only choice is, like the Mishnah is saying, it's to be zeiros, but it's like because we don't know the rewards of the mitzvahs. We knew the rewards, the greater reward would indicate that it's more significant to the system, and therefore it's giving you a greater reward because you're involved in a more important piece of the system. There's the reward. See, the reward is for keeping the system of the Torah, because that's the idea of Kal Yisrael, is that we tell God gives us mitzvahs and averos, and says if we keep them, we get rewards, and if we violate them, we get a punishment. So it's a greater reward. That would indicate it's more significant to the system. But since we don't know that, since we don't know these, we don't know the rewards, so therefore we're stuck. We simply have to give them all equal weight. Okay, so we could ask a question. Again, it's a funny kind of a question. And it's not necessarily so easy to answer. But we don't have anything to go on. But why aren't we told? Why are we not given rankings? You know? Why are we not given rankings? you know, given that there are rankings, and the rankings would demand more or less zeros, so why are they not given to us? Seems like, you could just say that's a why question, I don't know why. It's hard to know, God just didn't. But, I mean, could we say anything about that? And if you'll say, is, look, God doesn't want us to be involved in this whole area, but you see by those essays he did. So you could say by those essays you don't have a choice because there have to be any punishments. But still, it's like, you know, something bothersome about the setup. Okay, so maybe like this. Okay, and this is the part which maybe we can try to work on together here. But is maybe the thing is that a person, that this is where the ethics comes in. Which is that if the Torah did that, there would be a problem. Okay? Because what you're saying is in theory, the Torah should do it. So most, I think a good step would be if the Torah didn't do it because that would lead to problems. Right? That seems to be a decent step. Okay? Well, so that's the only easy way to say it, but it's certainly, you know, certainly a natural step to take, right? So what are problems? So, and you see, for instance, the Mishnah is telling us, be careful about Mitzakala and Mitzachamura. Aye, but there's no such thing as Mitzakala and Mitzachamura. But it says, no, Mitzah that you consider a Kala, so you consider a Kala. So what do you mean? Well, why would you consider it that way? Right? It's not true. So apparently a person emotionally, naturally, kind of ranks mitzvahs. Even though it's not true. But he kind of feels learning Hebrew is no big deal. And eating meat and wine and anything is no big deal. For whatever reason, whatever emotions are involved. But a person does place rankings on them. And that's what the Mishnah is telling you, don't go with those. Those aren't really, they're not based on anything. But even though they're not based on anything, a person does do that. And a person naturally has a tendency to somehow make up a ranking system in his mind. And given the ranking system, to be lax by the light mitzvahs. Okay, to be lax by light mitzvahs. Even though it's true, it's not, there's no, he doesn't even know that they're really lax. And he's still being light about them. So it could be you see that a person in this area, when it comes to being careful about mitzvahs and the heroes about mitzvahs, kind of has emotions to get involved in the area. And it could be that the Torah held that if you told mitzvahs, told people that this mitzvah is really important and this mitzvah is not so important, then what's going to happen is that the first mitzvah is not that important. Philosophically, a person, you know, a real high-level person would say, look, it's not that important, but it's important, but it's part of the Torah, and the Torah's mission is only accomplished through all the mitzvahs, and therefore I have to do them all. But still, when you tell a guy this is not so important, then and it only demands a like lighter degree of zeros, which is true, it would only demand a lighter degree of zeros. But a person is not, it would be flagrant, it would be, you know, negligent in regard to it. It's not, Torah's not endorsing negligence, it's just saying is you would have a lesser zeros. But negligence not. And it could be there's no way to give rankings of mitzvahs without the person's emotionally, I don't know, every person, but most people is emotionally downgrading the value of mitzvahs, of a light mitzvahs. And you therefore would not be careful doing them. And you see, even the person even does that, even though the Torah didn't give us rankings of mitzvahs. You see, it's saying is like these mitzvahs, such as eating basar and yayin and the learning Hebrew. A person naturally feels they're not significant that would be life regarding that. So a person relates to mitzvahs on an emotional level. He kind of loses sight of the idea of a system and the idea that it is an integrated system. And he kind of gets carried away with some emotional benefit or whatever, feel goodness about mitzvahs, and he ends up, misattributing weights and significance of mitzvahs, and he's lax, not careful about certain mitzvahs, based upon his presumed feelings about what's chamor and what's kal. Kol shekein, certainly, if the Torah actually told us this is important, this is not important, or this is less important. But emotionally, you feel that's, unimportant, so I'm not going to really do that one. You know, a person would be quick to be lax, quick to be negligent about it. And negligence is never appropriate. Yes, not non-zehiros, true. But it just means relative to the chamor, it demands a lesser of the heroes. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to do it and it's not important. It is important. The system is a system. Certainly is more important than your own baseball game that you want to go to or whatever it is. It just means relative levels, and relative levels demand the relative zeros. But it could be the Torah that can't be accomplished without having the negative effect of taking a person, turning a person off from the light lenient ones, and therefore the Torah didn't tell it to us, and therefore the result is that every mitzvah we have in the back of our mind, maybe this is a really important one, and therefore you have to be super zahir about them all. There's no way to be any more or less zahir. So the person can never say this is not important mitzvah. It's not true. This mitzvah is the same as any other mitzvah. And see, also mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, they're all on the same level. So this leads to one question, which I'm hoping someone's going to ask. Yes, exactly. Very good. So Maris asked the right question. Is that, so what Rabbi Elazar says? See, Rabbi Elazar says the Torah did it. So what you're saying is the Torah can't do it because the person's going to start ranking and get emotionally involved. Then what Rabbi Elazar says? The Torah shouldn't do it by Rabbi Elazar says either. But see, the Torah did do it by Rabbi Elazar says. Okay, so you could say that anything is your own choice. Because by Losa says, you do have to punish, since these are destructive to the system, you have to punish people. And the punishments, well, you could say, you could equally punish everything, but you could say, but that wouldn't be just, because maybe, for instance, a person's not going to deserve a very harsh punishment. Like, what's the equal punishment going to be? You're going to stone everyone for everything, that's not justice. A person doesn't deserve stoning, it's not significant. You're going to give everyone a little malchus for everything, but there's some things which are worse and deserve more, and then they need a greater deterrent. So you could say practically there's no choice. So I had to do it. But by assays, it wasn't necessary to do that. It wasn't necessary to do that. Just say, the mitzvahs are good for you, they get a reward for doing the mitzvahs, but it doesn't have to go into the particulars. Okay, that's a good answer. Alright, okay. Okay, good. Okay, so let me just say what Matt said and then what Danny said. So Matt said, first of all, the negative ones, most of them have punishments. So bottom line is, it's true, it might be light, but a person's not going to say, oh, all I do is I get whipped for that? Okay, fine, I'll do it. Bottom line is, punishment's punishment. So in an essay, the rankings are such that it's true, the Torah gives you rewards, but there's no one's like paying you money for doing a mitzvah or whatever. The reward is not like God will reward you in an unknown way or whatever. There's no, our business doesn't give out rewards for doing mitzvahs. So that lends itself to a person, being light and lenient and not so lenient by hasays. But within los hasays, since they're actually punishments, actually consequences to the things, it lends itself less to a person saying, downgrading the thing because it's light. But then I ask, but that's true, but one of the classes is los hasays without a maisa, let's say, which actually don't have any punishment. So then when you say those, there really is a danger that don't have that class, because that class is certainly going to give people, be lenient about those, everything else is a punishment. So you could just say, look, bottom line is that I have to set up classes. Classes make sense to have, and generally you're not going to have this problem because of the punishments, and that class, whatever. It's part of the whole greater system. But I think what Danny's saying is an answer to that as well, which is that a person is much quicker, emotionally, to not do a positive thing, to not do a good, than to do a negative thing, to do a bad. Just emotionally, the guilt and whatever it is. It's like, if you know something is usher and something's prohibited, then a person has much more resistance, guilt associated with doing it, than by not doing an asai. It's not necessarily not to do it, there's no like moment, or there's no, you're not actively breaking the system. You're just kind of not doing it. You're just busy, forgetting. You don't just decide. You don't have to. That doesn't have to be a moment to say, no, I'm not doing it. A person doesn't have to do that. A person kind of just gets involved in something else and distracts himself, and next thing you know, he didn't do it. So a person is a danger. There's a greater danger of a person if you tell a person, here's the mitzvahs, here's the rankings, these are not so important mitzvahs. There's a danger of a person just kind of ignoring them. Whatever. Kind of make your world around it. But the bottom line is the Torah says openly, don't do this thing. You're not allowed to do X. So, of course, a person can violate, but there's already, that itself is already a deterrent, and a person knows he's violating the Word of God. So it's true, it's light, but it's still a negative. It's still God said, don't do this thing, and then you're actively doing it. So it could be the Torah held as less of it. Of course, again, it depends on your society, it depends who you are. There's always danger, and there's always going to be sinners. But the thing is that the Torah doesn't seem like it's necessarily, it's only concerned about people who are just not following the Torah. It's like people are following the Torah, but if it tells you rankings and assays, even a person who's at a good level is going to end up being thrown off and is going to end up taking certain mitzvahs lightly. But in Los Assays, that same danger didn't exist. Same danger didn't exist. And I think that coupled with what Daniel, you said before, is that practically you don't have a choice. I mean, there's no really good other solution. And it's not such a danger anyways. And what Matt said, just it makes sense. Because in a combination of all these factors, the Torah decided, or so to speak, decided to do it by Los Assays. I mean, even if there would be this risk, but apparently the benefits outweigh the risk. But in Assays, the Torah did not do it. The Torah didn't reveal this. Apparently it would have been more harmful than beneficial if the Torah did it. Okay, question? So the last thing we have to go now is also the last part of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah says, but there is a way to rank them. Even though the Torah didn't really give us rankings, there is a way to rank them. You should try to figure out how important the mitzvah is based upon the corresponding punishment if a person doesn't do the mitzvah. So now it seems like the Torah is endorsing setting up some sort of a ranking system. But isn't this against the whole idea? Doesn't this undermine the whole idea? And secondly, the question we asked is, Is this true? Why is this a good way to rank things? Right, that question we asked earlier today. It's just because it's a more important, worse onash if you violate it, doesn't mean it's a greater reward if you do it. Right? By the way, and then I guess in theory to unify the mission if we go. But in theory, so that's why I think it's important that the idea of avos, or the idea of ethics, is important. This is pointing out to a person that we naturally have, given Torah didn't do it, but the person has to realize that you relate to mitzvahs on an emotional level. You know, and given that you relate to mitzvahs on an emotional level, so you kind of automatically pick and choose your mitzvahs. You know what I mean? Pick and choose your mitzvahs. And certain mitzvahs make you feel good, and whatever, and you do them, or certain things make you feel bad, or you do them, whatever it is. But a person relates to the mitzvahs on an emotional level. And that's oftentimes not grounded at all. For instance, in Assays, we simply have no way to rank it, there's no rankings whatsoever. So if you feel certain mitzvahs are more or less important, you should realize that just because the mitzvahs appeal to you in a certain way. So the person is not doing the mitzvahs because they appeal to you in a certain superficial or in an artificial way. That's not the idea of the mitzvahs. And the idea of the mitzvahs is because they're involved in a system, and a system of truth, and a system which is bringing the truth to the world, and we're fortunate to be part of that system, and that brings us benefit. But we don't, so far as the system is concerned, we don't have any knowledge of any rankings. And I mean, we know the mitzvahs, we could study benefits of mitzvahs, but we have no way to rank mitzvahs and say this is more or less important. Sometimes you feel a mitzvah that you know the reason for, you have a good reason for it, so then you could feel like it's important. That's not really grounded. I mean, we don't really, if you feel that feeling, which a person does naturally, as I said, choshev misakal means that a person feels this kal. That's not really grounded in anything. So a person should assess if they're feeling that way. I mean, the person who just relates to the mitzvahs because they emotionally appeal to him, I'm not saying you're better off doing that than not doing mitzvahs at all. But that's not really, a person should think into it and see as a mitzvah, and should. Its commitment should be based upon the intellectual understanding of mitzvahs and the Torah. And so far as you're grounded in an emotional thing, you're going to end up making mistakes. You're going to be less careful about certain mitzvahs and more careful about other mitzvahs. And it's going to end up, you're no longer following Torah per se, but you're following the superficial emotional appeal that Torah has to you. And you're more than likely missing the true benefits of the Torah. Again, of course, it's better than not doing it at all, in general. But that's what it's pointing out. Is a person should be cognizant of his emotions involved in a system of mitzvahs. That's an ethical idea. It's not just a philosophical idea. The reason, again, in the purely philosophical sense, you really could have had rankings. There's no ethics. You just have rankings of essays, and a person of like a philosopher would rank them appropriately and give the proper level of zeiros to everyone, there'd be no problems. The Mishnah is necessary because ethically that's not possible. A person's going to be misled. And it's basically the premise that it's all built upon is that a person relates to mitzvahs emotionally and starts doing these things. And therefore, Torah didn't do that. And even though Torah didn't do it, still, the person has to keep himself in check. Yeah, okay, so why don't we leave these questions, though, for tomorrow? Okay, this is like the third segment of the mission, you know? Try to see if we could tie it all together and resolve these final problems. Okay, Thursday I'm not going to be able to give shiur. I have to be in school. I have a meeting in school. Okay, so basically my plan is to try to finish this up tomorrow. And then I guess next week we should plan on going to Lulav HaGazma. I'll give you more specific sources. But basically beginning of third paragraph. Alrighty, is there a question?